You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlandson. I'm joined by Matt Kendrick. Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm all right. Nice cup of tea. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're here today to talk about 2 years of Dean Smith as Aston Villa manager. The date is the 10th of October 2020 when this goes out, not today. Of course, he was appointed on the 10th of October 2018 after Steve Bruce was sacked as manager. Flown by, hasn't it, for starters?
It has, really, considering it's 2 years, although he does seem to have been there for 10 years.
I was going to say, so
it's a bit of a strange one. Everybody knows the context in which he arrived, but we might as well revisit it for the purposes of documenting it for all time. The club was...
We were doing the podcast back then and we were talking about a cabbage coming onto the pitch, people would be thinking that's our usual dose of nonsense, isn't it? But that was a real thing that happened.
Yeah, it was. And as ridiculous as it was, it kind of almost became a symbol of a club that was kind of, you know, fan base was disillusioned. A manager had lost his way. I remember that night against Preston. What a crazy night that was, the one that did for Steve Bruce in the end. I don't think the Holt end and the rest of Villa Park knowed whether to cheer equalisers or to... Do you know what I mean? Or it was one of those, wasn't it? Because I think Villa Park was ready for change then.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the... I've told this story before, so forgive me for repetition, but I remember sitting in the posh seats. I'd had an invite from... 32 Red. I got a phone call and it was our photographer Tim Heastup, and he said,
"Are you at the Villa, man?"
I said, yeah, why?
He said, "Oh, someone's just wanged a cabbage at Steve Bruce."
Wanged is a great word.
You what?
He said, no, someone's just...
Tim, I'm having the posh food here, mate. Can you...
Leave me alone.
Can you ring me back when you've got something serious to say?
He said, no, I've got a photo of it.
He kind of conjured up the pun grocery misconduct and the rest is history, really. But I think... Obviously, this is the Dean Smith anniversary podcast, so let's get to that. I think, listen, there's the usual to-ing and fro-ing, wasn't there? You know, Thierry Henry, his name is in the frame, Rui Farah.
Was Brendan Rodgers linked at one point as well?
Brendan Rodgers was linked, he was still at Celtic at the time. And I remember, I sound like a proper gloating here, the ones that I get wrong, probably deleted or archived,
but
the ones that I get right, I'm happy to kind of put front and centre. So I was on Twitter the other night gloating about this piece that I wrote a couple of days before Smith got the job, saying, you know, Villa, it'd be worth looking at this guy, you know, he ticks all the boxes.
Dean Smith, no one's heard of.
as if I'd plucked him out of nowhere. it happened, and... It's easy to say now with hindsight, isn't it? And we probably wouldn't have been quite so bold saying this 2 or 3 months ago when Villa were on the brink. Mm. But it was the right fit then. He was an appointment who has got the... we'll return to this in a bit, but he's got the kind of personality and the... I don't know, the statesman-like qualities, I think, to lead Aston Villa. And he was, as it transpires, with the benefit of a big dollop of hindsight... It was the right bloke to unite Aston Villa again.
Yeah, I remember they announced it quite late as well. The club, I think it was like 10 o'clock. I don't know whether they were like wary of leaks or something, but it just came out of the blue one night. I was scrolling onto it and it was like, "Welcome, Dean Smith." It's like, oh, okay.
It was actually. Now you remind me. This did seem a bit kind of understated compared to...
It just happened.
All the big announcements that you get nowadays that have kind of dancing girls and kind of feather boas in the background.
I think they used a GIF, if I remember right. I should have found it out, but I haven't. And I'll put it on screen, actually, for after the fact for the podcast. But obviously, I wasn't working with you then, so I'd assume that was a late night scramble.
Put my article on screen as well when I'm saying, just so it's there.
Was that a late night scramble in text WhatsApp group saying, I'm
working for the appointment? you know us, mate. We've got these kind of content plans and documents.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a spreadsheet somewhere.
Yeah, there was definitely a spreadsheet. We probably changed the names from Steve Bruce appointed to Dean Smith appointed.
Yeah, just copy and paste everything.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I remember the first game and he kind of, you know, walked down the Trinity Road touchline with a little kind of thumbs up and applause, and he was quite understated, very, very Dean Smith, to be honest. You could see that he was buzzing. You could see that he was kind of...
I won't be able to keep the smile off my face.
Nah, well, I think I don't think he could, you know. I think he, you know, there was a little kind of satisfied kind of, you know, basking in the moment, but still, like I say, in a very Dino kind of way. But it was quite an emotional day, I think, because if I remember rightly, it was the day that kind of Villa Park paid tribute to Doug, because Doug had passed away. So it was... just needed that win. He just needed it, and he... You know, it wasn't the most convincing of performances, but it was enough to win the game. And then it kind of, like you say, we thought it was going to snowball, didn't quite. It was a bit stop start. But he's one of these guys, isn't he, who somehow manages to stay on a level.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when? Do you remember when Tim Sherwood beat Albion twice in a week and was giving it the old veins in the neck? You know, and you've seen Mourinho in the past kind of sprinting down the touchline doing knee slides and stuff like this, and he doesn't do that, does he?
No.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, Villa beat Liverpool, obviously, I don't know if you've noticed, Villa beat Liverpool 7-2 at the weekend, and he must have been absolutely floating, hadn't he? He must have been floating on air. But again, it was still almost the same Dean Smith as if you had lost to Stoke 1-0. In the cup or whatever, and I think that's a real skill to have when you're in such a pressure cooker environment. And I think we'll touch on the fact that he's a Villa fan, we'll touch on the fact that he's probably an underrated tactician, but one of the things that I admire about him more than anything else is that he's such a grown-up, mature people person and statesman-like figure and everyman figure that you kind of... we've definitely touched on this, but the good guy, you know, good guys don't win, and he's kind of ripping that up and saying,
yeah,
well, actually, give good guys patience and they can win.
This is one for the YouTube audience more so than the listeners, but I've got the access to our picture library and there isn't millions of photos in there, but pretty much every photo of Dean Smith from that Liverpool game, you wouldn't even know if we'd have won the game. He doesn't look happy, there isn't many celebration shots. You know, you'd think there'd be big fist bumps and big celebrations with the rest of the coaching staff, but there's a couple of him with his foot on the ball, kind of just looking around, like, you know, stern faced. I think I said somebody like, you wouldn't know if we'd have lost 7-2 from the pictures of Dean Smith.
I think all the smiling celebration ones are behind a paywall. I think that's the problem.
Probably is. But he said a few times about, you know, don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows. And it's a cliche, but it makes sense, doesn't it? If you have a little bit of a bad run, it isn't the end of the world because you could win three in a row and things look rosy. But likewise, I'm sure sitting second in the table now, 9 points from 9, he's not thinking, right, Champions League, here we come. Yeah. He's going to be very level-headed still.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the dressing room at the training ground and at Villa Park, because... He seems, you know, this is not me kind of banging on a criticism about O'Neill again. We've done that in previous podcasts. But
did about an hour on that.
He seems to be able to kind of keep the whole squad happy to a point.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's probably a little bit easier than the situation O'Neill had, because a lot of Smith's fringe players are players who have come from different leagues or are stepping up to the Premier League for the first time. So... probably more inclined to bide the time than big money signings that O'Neill would have left on the bench. Mm. But he's utilised that squad when he's needed to. You know, you could probably argue, like the Stoke game, that the fringe players can't be that happy because they didn't really turn up. But
yeah.
I think that's again his kind of quality. I think he's just honest but compassionate at the same time. Sounds like we're writing his Tinder profile there, don't
we? Or his obituary. It's not passed away. He was a lovely man. Go back to that promotion season again. Did you ever feel like we'd go on to do it until it happened? Because I know that you were very pessimistic anyway and probably didn't believe it until we were at Wembley with the trophy in our hands. But did you ever think in Christmas time, oh yeah, we'll still have a decent season here?
To me, I thought it was always going to be a, I don't know, judge him after 20 months.
Yeah, steady us out for the rest of the season. Don't be as bad, and then we'll go again next year.
I thought it was... Villa were a strange... He inherited a strange squad, I thought. You know, he kind of got a lot of experienced kind of journeyman players. Couple of expensive loanees.
A very good squad, though.
Oh, yeah, I think it was a capable squad, as was proved, but... I didn't think they'd deliver promotion straight away. And no. You're right that when he came in, Villa weren't a million miles away from the playoff position. Well, in terms of points needed to be in the playoffs. But I just thought, you know, don't expect him to work miracles. And every step of the way of that that charge through the playoffs, every step of the way, I thought, well, these things don't happen to Aston Villa.
Yes, yeah, sir.
You know, and it was like, it sounds so cliche, but it was proper Hollywood for the way it worked, you know, with Jack Grealish being punched around the head, and do you know what I mean? All the setbacks and all the adversity. God, it sounds so sickly when I say it out loud, but it was just all the sweeter, wasn't it? Because it was Smith and Grealish and the narrative of these kind of one of our
own. Well written, wasn't it?
But it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous script. You know, you could have taken that to any kind of Hollywood producer and they'd have laughed you out of town because it was just so.
Don't be so cheesy.
So far fetched.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about cheesy. We've got a photo of him on the table here to set the scene.
Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mask. Sorry. Talking about when he first arrived, the interesting thing that I found about his first press conference was the way he dealt with the John Terry situation.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about
because
that.
You know, regardless of the positive spin that anybody at Aston Villa will put on it, Christian Perslow bought in John Terry. Dean Smith didn't bring in John Terry.
Yeah.
Dean Smith was comfortable with John Terry coming in. And you know, has got a kind of pre-existing relationship with John Terry through knowing Terry's brother. But there was my big fear was: is Terry going to seize the limelight? Is he going to be you've seen it when Villa play Chelsea. I mean, it's kind of John Terry's Aston Villa versus Frank Lampard's.
That with Derby in the Championship,
exactly. But it just kind of. Well, Villa made a shrewd decision, first of all. They were going to have them both on the same platform in the press room at Villa Park on the unveiling, but they didn't. They did Smith separately and then did break-off interviews with John Terry. But Smith just said something. He just said this one line. He was asked about John Terry, and he said, oh, yeah, he's just arrived. He's like an excitable schoolboy. He's turned up with his pencil case, and he's ready to learn. And I just thought, wow, that's a very cute way of saying, I'm the boss here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I don't think he didn't come across as patronising, and it wasn't meant to be patronising, but it was a, do you know what I mean? To me, it was a clear line.
Yeah, a little bit underhanded.
John Terry's a member of my staff. Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what he can bring to my team.
Yeah.
From then, I kind of thought, well, for all this nice guy stuff, and for all the fact that he can be a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, very diplomatic, I suppose, the fact that he can be a diplomat, he's no pushover. Dean Smith. I think there's a kind of a real hard man beneath that kind of gentle exterior. I think he backs himself. He surrounds himself with people who he trusts. I think that moment then, I thought, well, you know, because there were questions when he came in. Oh, he's only managed Walsall. He's only managed, you know, Brentford. With the exception of probably Sheffield Wednesday, he's not really played for a big football club. Is this job too big for him? And then I sat in a room with him for the first time and I thought, no, it's not too big for him. He actually gets it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just get it because he's an Aston Villa fan. He gets it because he's used every single experience in his life and in his job so far to shape him.
Yeah.
And he's understood that whether you're managing Aston Villa or whether you're managing Walsall youth team, it's about kind of getting the best out of people. It's about kind of, you know, being aware of the people around you, knowing what makes them tick, taking time to know what makes them tick, and going from there. And I think since then, and there's been some wobbles along the way, since then you've thought, yeah, I think we're in pretty safe hands. Everything's done in the right way And if like I said, if it doesn't succeed, that's just life. That's not because of the bloke in charge is not a super shrewd man. God, I hope we get permission for this. We're saying lots of nice things.
He seems to give that vibe off, though, that he's very welcoming to everybody and that kind of thing. But I imagine there is that ruthless streak in there. He could really rip into the players in the dressing room at times if he needs to. There was that Stoke game, wasn't there, in that before that 10-game winning run that people always talk about, that apparently absolutely crucified them at half-time and came out in that second half and they were better. I wonder what that is like when you're in that camp, because obviously we don't see Dean Smith every day like the players do. Would that, and again, they'd have been with him for 3 or 4 months by that point, but I wonder whether that kind of treatment was a shock to the players. And I suppose that's more impactful if, oh my God, he's lost his head a little bit, yeah.
From my understanding, he's, you know, as much as he's patting people's backs and shaking the hands and stuff like that, I've heard that he kind of does maintain a little bit of distance.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we won't hark on about Terry too much, but I think he's used Terry to kind of, because Terry's come from being in that dressing room, albeit there's been a massive turnover player since then. I think he's actually tried to toughen Terry up by saying, right, you can go and pull so-and-so in and bring him into me so I can tell him they're going to be dropped. Almost like to show Terry that you've got to, now you're on the coaching staff, you've got to kind of got to maintain that distance.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm probably wandering off topic a bit, but it won't be a surprise to the listeners. There's two occasions that have kind of really struck me about Dean Smith, the bloke, outside of the football environment. There's a clip doing the rounds sometime in the last year or so where he went and gave some kind of management speech at a local university.
Yeah.
And he just commanded the entire room. Do you know what I mean? And there's this kind of, you know, this Brummy football bloke from Great Bar, kind of in this academic environment. And he's just kind of, everybody's hanging on his every word and he's strolling round the space, very, very measured, very confident. That was the one. And the other one was, I think it was a Christmas visit to Acorns. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be invited to those in the past. Players are normally brilliant, going and mingling with the kids and the families and stuff like that. But Smith kind of gathered everybody together. I think Villa played it on their social channels. And he gives this really, really lovely, heartfelt speech. And it's not a speech that's written in advance, but it's kind of, you know, whereas, I'm not criticising other managers, but they'd have probably had a quick handshake and then jumped in the car.
Yeah.
He just, again, he's an ambassador. He's an ambassador for Aston Villa, and he came across really well. And like I say, I think those qualities, to me anyway, I mean, people might think, well, Matt, we don't really care.
I was going to say, we're 20 minutes old in and we've barely talked about him as a football manager, but I think the big, almost appeal of Dean Smith is what he's like as a man. I think that's what helps him be so successful. And he's not, I don't mean successful in terms of he's won trophies everywhere, but in terms of being a good manager, you have to be a good person as well. That's a big part of it.
A lot of it is PR and style over substance now, isn't it, with the way that the modern football and the modern world's consumed. But it does help if you're likeable. You know, even his name, Dean Smith. Do you know what I mean? He's such a kind of
Mr. Smith.
He's such generic. A kind of everyman, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Which is brilliant. That's the appeal, isn't it?
I've noticed people on Twitter calling him Don Smith these days, like the Godfather, which I love that. I just want to go back to my earlier point about him being kind of nasty in the dressing room. I feel like I didn't make my point properly.
Well, you made it. I just ignored it. I didn't know what to say about it. I don't know whether he is nasty.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I wanted to clarify. I don't really know whether that's true or not. That's just the perception I would get, that, you know, like when you've got your mate who's always nice and very unassuming, and all of a sudden he snaps back and you think, oh Christ, like, he's not normally like that. I imagine that's a bit what he's like.
I imagine it a bit more like, bit more like my dad when he's frustrated. Like, my dad's a really, you wouldn't believe it, I must take after my mum, but he's probably listening now, Dad, so I hope I'm not giving too much away, but he's a really kind of compassionate, caring, serious man. He's a church warden, my dad. He's quite religious. And the thing is with Dad, what is this, a dad podcast or a Dean Smith podcast?
You get
the vibe, if you upset him, it's kind of, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And I get that with I get that with Dean Smith as well. You'd kind of get the, well, you've been playing for me long enough, you know the rules, you know what I expect, you know, go away and have a long, hard look at yourself and see, think what you've done.
Yeah, like if someone gets sent off, he's not, he doesn't come in angry in the dressing room. He just ignores them and says, you know what you've done.
That's it.
You let us down.
Just a kind of very kind of gentle tut.
Yeah, just rolls his eyes. I've got a couple of quotes lined up on the laptop and my laptop's battery's dying, so I do want to get them in before that happens. Going back to that playoff win, obviously it's a big talking point. I feel like we've had a whole season in the Premier League to talk about, but I just want to go back to it. He said, after the playoff win, the potential for the football club is massive. I've been asked how it feels right now, and I think it feels right. It feels right that Aston Villa are in the Premier League. I think the history of the football. I don't know if that makes sense. I've copied and pasted that off the Villa website. And I don't think it makes sense. I think the history of the football, the size of the football club, the fan base it has, I believe it is a Premier League club. It's not me speaking with a supporter's head on. It's just history that tells you that. Tim Sherwood, perfect example. Yeah. When you keep giving juicy sound bites, you start thinking, oh, it's just another Tim Sherwood. Yeah. He's said things like that before. When someone who's very measured and calm says something as big as being in the Premier League feels right and it's just normal and it's acceptable, it's like, oh, yeah, you're right, Dean. Like, it makes you feel a little bit taller because he's not usually like that.
Yeah, I don't think he wastes words, to be honest. He's not a manager who will just kind of, you know, give you half a sentence. And you know he's quotable, but he's not going to give you sound bites for the sake of it. He realises he's got a duty to communicate to the fans, but he'll tell you things that you know he's quite honest, isn't he? There was on the subject of his quotes. There was a member at St Andrews after the Jack Grealish thing, and bearing in mind, Dean Smith is still within the bowels of St Andrews at that time and has still got to get home. He's come out and he's been so blunt and brutal about the idiot who's punched Jack, but not only that, the kind of, you know, the 5 or 10,000 who actually kind of applauded this nutter. And I thought, oh my God, Dean, you know, you've got to get back in your car. Or back,
he knows he's got a police escort outside.
Well, it's a good job, but it was heartfelt. Mm. It annoyed him, it frustrated him. And it wasn't because it was Villa versus Blues. If that had happened away at Swansea or whatever, he'd have spoken as strongly. But I just thought, yeah, when he's got something to say, he'll say it. And if he hasn't, he'll keep it to himself.
Yeah.
Which is quite, you know, as a press man, it's annoying because you want him to have something to say all the time. You know, you want him to be a kind of Tim Sherwood gobshite or whatever. But
can we say that?
Yeah, I just did.
But, that's why he doesn't come on the podcast. That's why he didn't want to come on the podcast.
Well, he had his chance.
Yeah, this morning when I was going through a little bit of research for this, I was thinking, has he had a new deal in his time at Villa? Because I was thinking, oh, you know, it might be time to earn him a new one this summer after keeping us up. He had a new 4-year deal in November 2019 where he said, I'm really happy to have committed my long-term future to the club. I'm looking forward to all the challenges that come with re-establishing Villa as a top Premier League side. Very kind of, in that manner, cliched, usual things you expect a manager to say, but the part about him being the long-term future, yeah, football is a funny game, isn't it? Things happen. You've heard managers say that. They have a few bad results and they're gone. He could have been gone after this in Project Restart, for example. But when you hear Smith say stuff like that and the way Villa have treated him, you think that they believe that they want him here long-term. This isn't just a 2 or 3 years, we'll see what happens, and then we'll look to shift him on and get someone else in. You believe that Villa will want him around the place for 5 or 10 years?
There was a sense that Villa were becoming a bit of a kind of disposable football club, that they kind of have a trolley dash. I know they've still done that to a degree, but have a trolley dash each summer and just think, OK, let's see if we can have some success in the next 12 months, and if we don't, we'll deal with that down the line. You know, it's like putting stuff on credit, isn't it? You know, we'll pay the price for that later. I think with Dean Smith it was a thought that, you know, no matter how rich your owners are, you can't go on like that forever. You've got to try and find a football club that can be self-financing to a degree. Being the Premier League obviously helps that, because you're making so much more revenue that you can go and reinvest. But I think, you know, Smith is a regular attendee at the under-23 games and, you know, some of the younger age group games as well. I think he does care. You know, it's hard for a football manager to care too much for a long-term future of a football club, because, you know, it's probably a job that's got a shorter shelf life than, I don't know, a reality TV star or whatever, isn't it, being a football club manager. But I think he cares because even he will know that at some stage his time at Villa will come to an end. Mm. But he still wants to leave the club in a better place than he found it.
In hope.
Well, he will do, and he will do it. You know, it sounds a bit sentimental, but he will do it for the fact that even in his 2 years, he's given us some absolutely outstanding memories.
What do you think the ceiling is for Smith? Because obviously it's easier to buy into a long-term project when you support the club, and we've mentioned it in passing a couple of times, but to me that isn't really a point that he's a Villa fan. I don't think it's even worth the airtime, really, because it shouldn't matter. But in terms of
rip up those notes.
But in terms of being able to visualise a long-term future, if he's got no association to Brentford, for example, is he really that bothered about being at Brentford for 15 years? For Villa, he would think, yeah, I'd love to be here for 15 years. I want to set my family up here at home, my club. I want to be here for as long as I can. Is that easier to buy into if you are a fan of the club?
He's an ambitious bloke who wanted to show that he could prove it in the Premier League. You know, all the accusations that came around last year is, oh, Premier League's too big for him. He's never managed in the Premier League. He has managed in the Premier League now. He's managed in the Premier League and, you know, okay, he stayed up by the size of a gnat's leg or something. I think I've edited that in my mind, so it's nothing rude. But he's a Premier League manager now, so I think he wants to show that he can be a manager that can take a Premier League club into Europe. I think he'd like to be a manager that could take a Premier League club into the Champions League.
I don't know what you're about to say then. What are you going to say to win titles?
I'm sure he'd want to do that. Now, whether that would be... It's an interesting one about his ceiling, because do we think that Dean Smith is capable of managing a team that could be in the Champions League, compete in the Champions League, and could challenge for titles? To me, that's a different question than do we think Dean Smith could get Aston Villa into the Champions League and challenging for titles?
Yeah.
You know, I think if he is going to manage at the top level, I think it will have to be with Aston Villa, because I don't know, this sounds really horrible, maybe it's because he is called Dean Smith rather than Dino Smithonio or whatever, but what would he have to achieve at Villa to make, Liverpool, a Man United, Bayern Munich, a Dortmund or whatever, what would he have to achieve at Aston Villa to make them take notice of him? And if he's achieved that at Aston Villa, he's going to stay at Aston Villa and take the next step with Aston Villa, isn't he?
Yeah. That's a nice thought, isn't it, when you think about it? If that ever does happen.
But it is, you know, I can't see him getting on the radar of those big clubs without probably getting Villa into the Champions League anyway. And he might as well think, well, I'm here now.
Yeah. It's a bit like Jack Grealish thing, isn't it? Obviously, it's different for a player and a manager to show what they're capable of, but if Villa got into Europe with Jack Grealish, he would think, well, what's the point going to, I don't know, whoever's in Europe, I'll stay with Villa and do it with them instead. Yeah. So that's the upside of having the fan thing, that if you do get some success with your club, I don't even think he'd be bothered about joining someone else. Dean Smith, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Let's say he gets top four with Villa at some point, and Tottenham also do, and they say, oh, we want to get Dean Smith into Tottenham. Would he really be that bothered about them, rather than leaving the Champions League Aston Villa to go to Champions League Tottenham? He'd obviously stay with us, wouldn't he?
Well, the thing is, you know, he's probably...
We're getting way into hypotheticals here.
He's probably rich beyond his wildest dreams now, in terms of now he's a Premier League manager on a Premier League salary. This is every man thinking, you know, how many kind of diamond-encrusted collars can he buy his dog?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's funny that you said dog then, because I thought you were going to say something about cars or whatever. In my head, I was thinking, he's this guy that he's mentioned a few times, like walking his dog. Yeah. It's normal, blokey activity thing. So it's interesting that that's where you went with that as well.
But, I don't know, my big concern, and I'm the typical party pooper after we've spanked the league champions 7-2 and it's been an absolute feast of joy. Villa are riding high.
Now you're a thief of joy.
Villa are riding high, you know, in the kind of kazoo title race with Villa and Everton. But I just don't, you know, I don't think Villa will finish second in the league. I'm going to put myself out there.
Yeah.
Don't think they'll finish first either, but I just hope that if Villa do finish, let's hope they stay up, but let's hope they do finish 14th or 15th, and next season it's another two or three places. I don't want people to grow impatient with him.
Yeah,
I think people
that's important.
People, that includes me, and us and the press and the fans. I'm not saying that you indulge him. If there's no signs of progress, if Villa stand still or go backwards, then his one of us status shouldn't make him immune from being under the same scrutiny as everybody else. But it's just, what do we see? We like the concept of long-term future. It sounds great. Oh, yeah, we want stability. We want somebody to build a dynasty like Wenger or Alex Ferguson. But those things don't, you know, it doesn't happen without setbacks or without kind of bumps in the road or whatever. And I just think, you know, let's...
Also, those examples start with clubs that are already successful and are capable of winning something straight away. Villa probably need 5 years at least before they even get to that.
Yeah.
So you have to put up with Dean Smith being 14th, 10th to 8th around that for 5 years before you even get to competing for stuff.
Yeah.
We need to get through that phase first, and that's the difficult part. Would the ambitious Villa owners look at 14th place finishes and think, we can probably find someone better here to get more out of this squad?
You're right. You know, if Dean Smith was succeeding Martin O'Neill and Villa were still up, starting in that top pack at the moment, put the analogy klaxon, get that ringing. He's had a bumper car and he's trying to take that into the Grand Prix at the moment. So he's only just kind of managed to get it away from the fairground and get it towards Silverstone. So, you know, we're on the starting grid now, but we're a long way back.
We're at the back.
Yeah, we're a long way back.
Yeah.
And we've got that big metal thing and it's got nothing attached. I think that analogy's run its course, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. Out of control.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got no reply to that.
We can't really talk about Smith in 2 years without a nod to the owners, be honest. Yeah. Because, you know, it's easy for us to dig out Tony Jarre, isn't it? Now he's kind of departed off into the sunset. But Tony Jarre would have probably sacked Dean Smith 5 times last season.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Put himself in charge.
I wonder how close they were, whether it ever did cross their mind. Because he was under pressure at one point. It wouldn't have been, as much as I like him, it wouldn't have been that much of a shock if they did pull the trigger and say, we're struggling here, we might be able to get someone to get something out of the last 15 games or whatever. I'm glad they didn't. I remember saying many times, I hope they stick with him and I think he's the right manager in the long run. My humble brag saying that from the start, that I'd stick with him even if we went down.
Have you gone back in and re-edited all that in, have you?
No, I've got a clip somewhere. I don't know if I can find it, if I can be bothered, but I remember saying when we were still in the office, if we do go down, I'd still stick with him because he's the best guy to get us back up. But I wonder whether they ever did consider pulling the trigger.
I think it was a big sliding doors moment, wasn't it, after the Leicester game and then them not playing that next game against Chelsea. I think it allowed everybody to take a big deep breath and think, okay, what have we got in front of us here? Well, how do we want to do this? So, you know, there's not a great deal of positives to come out of the way the world's been in the last 8 months or whatever, but from Aston Villa's point of view, that unexpected bit of respite,
That saved us.
It has saved us. It saved Dean Smith. It's kind of meant that Villa can build from a position of strength rather than taking another step back again. You know, like I say, hats off to, don't wear a hat anyway, but hats off to, I should, hats off to Nassif. Hats off to Nassif and Wes Edens, really. This is a massive cliche and a massive generalisation, but overseas owners, you think, oh, they're going to get the big, you know, when the Henry speculation was raging, they're going to get a big name in and they're going to want to, you know, they're going to want somebody who's kind of box office and all that. A bit like when Jarre bought in Di Matteo because he'd won the Champions League with Chelsea, with John Terry's squad at Chelsea. But they haven't, have they? They've just kind of, what I think is very shrewd ownership, they've just thought, shall we employ some people who know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Shall we do that? Shall we have a look at it and not interfere and trust the people around us? Listen, they can make big decisions when they need to. You know, Suso was the one who paid the price.
And
I think that was an interesting thing with Smith as well. Smith could have, and Tim Sherwood would have,
I think he did,
thrown Suso under the bus massively. But Smith was very respectful, you know, saying, listen, we signed these players together. You know, I always had a good working relationship with Suso. Whether that had been the same if Smith had got the boot as well, we don't know. I think it probably still would have been. I don't think he'd have been airing his dirty linen in public, so to speak. But yeah, I think the owners have trusted Smith, even at times when big chunks of the fan base probably were losing their nerve. And I think at the moment, we say this in mid-October 2020 during an international break when Villa just spanked Liverpool 7-2. But at the moment, he's repaying their trust,
yeah,
and then some.
I'd say, again, without really looking too much into the other owners in the Premier League, I'd say Villa's owners have set the example for being the perfect owner so far. They've backed financially. They've employed one manager and stuck with him through thick and thin. They've signed a lot of players. They've, like you said, not interfered, stayed out of the limelight, not been massively over-egging things in the press like our previous owner. Pretty much sets the template for how a football club should be run.
Yeah, this always scares me, you know, when we say we get this kind of secure and trustworthy.
Yeah.
I just think, okay, make sure that you keep these clips and then delete them.
Well, I said to Ash after transfer deadline day that, you know, I wasn't that bothered about us not doing any panic signings on the last day and not being involved in the hype of it all, because that to me shows a well-organised football club and that we've made the right decisions before the manic last day. And it feels like for the first time since the early learner era that we're now being run like a proper football club.
Say early learning centre.
It feels like it's been like that sometimes with the stupid decisions.
We've got some proper building blocks now rather than those ABC ones.
Yeah, got some solid foundations to keep it going. But yeah, we're Aston Villa is a big club and we're being run like a big club now. And that's a relief to see after 10 years of misery.
Yeah, definitely. It feels
like... It's been
like
a circus, hasn't it, in recent years?
Yeah, it feels like there's people who want Villa to win their next match, but also care about where we're going to be in a year's time, where we're going to be in 2 years' time and 3 or 4 years' time. And it is, like I say, I'm just the world's biggest cynic, so I don't like to kind of... I always like to fear the worst. You know, I'll probably be thinking, oh, you know, is Neil Taylor really going to be a good backup at left back? And, you know, it's a good place to be. So perhaps I need to just kind of jump on board and enjoy it, really.
I know what you mean, because we've been burnt before, haven't we? Thinking we're in a good position with a good owner, spending money with Lerner, and then with even Dr. Tony as well. We spent money in that first year. And you think, yeah, here we go, fresh start, fresh optimism, and then you get stung. So I understand why there's some reluctance there. But I think, as you say, as I've walked over, when you look back, you know, forgetting about what the future might hold, so far, they've been pretty much perfect.
Yeah, if you'd have said to Dean Smith on the day that he was unveiled at Villa Park back in October 2018, fast forward 2 years from now, you'll have had a record-winning run that catapults Villa against all the odds into the Premier League. But you've got to do it at Wembley, first of all. You've got to beat your local rivals.
Yeah.
On penalties.
Yeah.
At the Hawthorns.
Do this to the crowd.
Yeah, just one more game. Then you've got to win at Wembley. And then after that, you're going to have to rebuild the entire squad. Some will be hits, some will be misses. Oh, by the way, you're captain. You're going to make Jack Grealish captain, and he's going to be punched in the face along the way. Fast forward. You're going to stay up on the last day after a six-month break in the season by this mystery virus that's taking over the planet. But that's going to be a good thing for you, for the football club. It's not going to be a good thing because you're going to have personal, you know, you're going to have your personal situation as well. But come October 2020, you're going to be second in the Premier League table, having hammered the league champions 7-2 at Villa Park. What do you reckon, Dean?
I'd want to slap you on the face.
Probably be on a level. Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's all right. I wish it was second in the season in October in a normal season, and we'd played about 10 games by now instead of only three, but that's me being very picky.
But the thing is, I've gone through the course of the last 2 years in a very flippant way, but mentioned that the fact he's had this kind of personal tragedy in passing as well, which...
Yeah, for anyone that don't know, his dad passed away due to the coronavirus.
His dad passed away during the summer months, but it was just the way he's spoken so openly about his dad's dementia as well. And not done it in a kind of woe is me kind of way, but done it in a... used his platform really,
yeah,
to kind of raise awareness of it. Never used it as a kind of as an excuse or anything like that. But again, it's a measure of the man, and you know, let's kind of remember that Steve Bruce had similar circumstances as well, losing both his parents, and you know, I can't even begin to think what that's like for somebody, yeah, to go through at that time. But to go through that and to have the pressure of managing a football club of the sheer size and scale of Aston Villa, with the weight of expectation and pressure that brings on it. You know, you've got to really have respect for Bruce and Smith, the way that they've handled those challenges, really.
Yeah, I know we're jumping all over the place here, but I mean, that's just the way these things go. You've got those two occasions of Smith talking about his dad, the one after the playoff final where he said that he'd gone to see him and said, next time I see you, I'll be a Premier League manager. And then he said after the fact that did he go and say it again? He'd been and told him, and he had a smile on his face or whatever he said, which was lovely. And then the moment when obviously he passed away and he came out and we had the steward's bib in the stand, and he talked about him then as well. And it's obviously two very different times. But yeah, like you say, it's just... I don't want to, like, again, use it as a bit of an excuse to just talk about him as a guy, but it makes him, it proves he's a nice guy. It doesn't just make out that he seems like a nice guy. He says the right thing. He is a good bloke, and that can take you a long way. And he's, as much as we kind of write off the Villa thing a little bit, it makes you proud that he is part of our club. He is our manager. He's part of us, much like the Jack Grealish thing. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the
Brummie... Without getting too soppy there.
No, it is. It's kind of like the Brummie Mafia in there, isn't it? No, he's obviously recruited Craig Shakespeare.
Yeah. Is that another one that you've got right, or...?
Yeah, you can dig that one out as well if you want. I had two successes in 2 years. Blimey, I should start betting like you.
Top journalism. We've seen Smith deliver in two separate environments now. First season in the Championship, massive pressure, big fish in a little pond, not to write off the Championship, but I am. A squad that's capable, a squad that's capable and should have been promoted that season. Yeah. Tammy Abraham played up front for us in the Championship. Tyra Mings, Jack Grealish, it was underachieving at that point. But he still had to come in and do the job. It's a bit like when you say you can only be what's in front of you. You've still got to do it. Just because you've got this squad doesn't mean it's just a given that you get promoted, because we were on track not to do that. Massive pressure that year to get up, and he does that. He delivers against all the odds, puts this miraculous miracle of a 10th miraculous miracle. this feat of winning 10 games in a row. That's one side of Dean Smith delivering under pressure when you expected to win. And then last season in the Championship, a favourite to go down. I don't know whether at the start of the season, but certainly at one stage when we're in the bottom three,
final week of the season,
when we're four or five points adrift, we're certainly one of the favourites to go down then. And that's a different kind of pressure entirely when you've been written off by everybody, when you've been written off by Villa fans as well. When we're talking on Facebook Live saying, "Oh, I think we're going down."
I've got no words. It's not great for a live podcast for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but that's it, isn't it? I think.
And then against all the odds, staying up on the last day, you're expected to go down, and we come out and go, "No, I'm not writing us off yet. I'm staying up."
I think he just trusts his judgment, doesn't he? You know, and he's, like I said, the situations and the circumstances that he's found in himself in at Aston Villa, he's been in to a degree, albeit at a lesser level, but he's had those kind of conversations, he's had those kind of stresses and strains, and he's kind of come through them and trusts his judgment. And, you know, he's had a massive dollop of luck. And it's that old cliche, isn't it? The harder he works, the luckier he gets. Do you know what I mean? He's earned the luck. He's earned the right to get that job in the first place, having served his apprenticeship at Walsall and Brentford. And he's definitely earned the right to keep it now.
Yeah.
I'm you sure. know, what realistically, okay, I'll tell you the one thing that he realistically could have achieved over and above what he's done. Villa could have beat Man City in that cup final. But other than that, what more could people have expected of him in 2 years? And people said, "Oh yeah, but they had to do it through the playoffs and they had to win on penalties, and you know, it's Jack Grealish that got Villa there, not Dean Smith, and all that kind of thing." But Jack Grealish didn't get Steve Bruce there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Jack Grealish didn't keep Remy Gard there. So Dean Smith has been able to put together this collection of individuals and turn them into a team and turn them into a squad and evolve them. You know, there's some difficult decisions to be made, when Villa got promotion, you'd got kind of the likes of Jedinak and Whelan who had been good servants. There's no sentiment. He was kind of very kind of respectful, very, very shrewd, thinking, I'm not sure that Glenn Whelan's going to be able to get around the pitch in the Premier League.
A more recent example of that, and maybe a more harsh one, is Conor Hourihan.
Yeah.
Starts the season this year, and again, it's only a couple of games, but delivered, been very good. And he goes and gets Ross Barkley and puts him straight in the team.
Yeah.
Conor Hourihan on the bench, squad player. That's pretty ruthless, really.
But that's how you improve and progress,
yeah,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm saying it's a good thing.
But this will be a key, won't it? I mean, Conor Hourihan, how's Dean Smith going to manage him now, this season? No, so he still feels a part of things so that he still can be that influence when he needs to, whether it's starting games or as a substitute. So these are the things. You know, this is why football managers are paid big, well, probably not big salaries as big as the players, but they're paid big salaries because they've got to keep the players happy, they've got to keep the chairman happy, they've got to keep the chief executive happy, they've got to keep
fans.
The wife happy, the fans happy, you know, all these kind of conflicting pressures. And this is where Dean Smith aces it for me, because he would be just as comfortable, you know, having a kick around with, I don't know, his left back's 2-year-old toddler, as he would, you know, going and giving a speech to the directors. And I think it's these kind of things and these kind of skills that have got him where he is, and long may it continue.
You mentioned Jack Grealish in passing there, and it's, you know, we've done almost an hour of recording and barely even talked about him. So we'll talk about this captain manager duo that we've got going on for our lovely frame that just happens to be sitting there. I just came down and it was there this morning.
Just something I knocked up earlier.
Yeah. Both Villa fans, captain, manager. Obviously, Dean Smith made Jack Grealish the captain of the club. First of all, that decision, I think we've talked about it a few times, but masterstroke, isn't it, when you look back now?
Yeah, it is. And I think we've said, haven't we, in the past, that I think there were some doubts within the corridors of power at Bodymore and Villa Park, whether it was the shrewdest thing in the world to make Jack Grealish captain. We knew what a fantastic player he was long before then, but whether anybody thought he really had the captain credentials to lead the club, that's something that Dean Smith, when working with him every day, has spotted. And you know, the rest is history, isn't it? He's really thrived. I think it's actually managed to improve his own game.
Yeah.
As well, you know, anybody thinking the burden of responsibility would make him kind of shrink or crumble under the pressure, it's been the reverse of that. He's kind of, you know, took his own game up to another level and been, you know, the leader of men. Certainly last season, it's encouraging to know that he's got a little bit more creative attacking support alongside him this season. But yeah, I think Dean Smith has kind of just tapped into something there, hasn't he? He's seen a glimmer and thought, I'm going to try this.
It's a very underrated decision, that is.
Yeah.
Because it would have been very easy to just give it to Tyrone Mings as a vocal, traditional leader on the pitch, centre-half, can see the game, have the armband, Tyrone, there you go. Jack Grealish is a left-field shout, isn't it? As much as he's the poster boy of Aston Villa, he isn't a traditional captain in the sense of being vocal on the pitch and stuff. But like you said, he's just, and this isn't the Jack Grealish podcast, but he's taken that responsibility and said, yeah, this is my club and I've got to prove it now because I've got the armband on. And he's taken his game up to another level, and I think there's still a little bit more that Jack Grealish can do as well. And that's after him just, I've said this on Twitter, 2 goals and 3 assists against Liverpool, and I'm thinking, there's still a little bit more Jack Grealish can do here because he's that good.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was only a 9.9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's what I mean. A very, very good. I mean that as a serious point. I don't think that's the best Jack Grealish will ever play. I think there's still more to come in the coming years.
I think he should not have just turned Virgil van Dijk inside out and megged him. I think he should have done a rainbow flip as well.
I think he just did come back the
and
other
then,
way, didn't he?
You know, played a 1-2 off Kenny Dalglish's face.
A great quote from Smith on Grealish. I think this was after the promotion season again. He says, "You could have a perception of people before you go somewhere. I never really knew Jack, but I always admired his football. I always thought I could help him as a coach, as a mentor. We have a great understanding with each other and what we expect. I had no qualms in giving him the captaincy. He's relished the responsibility of it and he was ready for it. His performances have been tremendous."
Do you know my favourite quote from Dean Smith about Jack Grealish? It was the one after Villa stayed up at West Ham on the last day of the season. I think a reporter asked him, have you spoken to Jack? You know, because the speculation about his future was kind of mounting.
Mason Mountain,
yeah. Before, I just want to say how well Mason Mountain's done in this podcast.
Terrible.
I like it. So Dean Smith was asked about Jack Grealish's future in the wake of Villa staying up on the last game of the season. Have you spoken to Jack Grealish? And he said something like, yes, you know, I'm going to have 25 shots with him or something. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go drinking with him.
The only decision is he's got to come out with me tonight or something like that.
That was it, yeah. So, I think there, as much as manager captain can be, I think they're kind of like mates as well.
I'll take you on mind.
I think they're like that. I think there's a respect there, but I think there's also a kind of pinch ourselves. Are we actually doing this? You know, this is Villa. You know, we love Villa, and we're actually kind of we're running the manor. So yeah, I think there's that kind of mutual respect amongst them.
How much do you think Dean Smith can be given credit for Jack Grealish staying at the club this year?
I know for a fact that Dean Smith told Jack Grealish, we're going to sign Ross Barkley and be second in the league. I don't buy that Dean Smith can't attract players. I don't think managers attract players in that way anyway. I think it's a football club. I think it's a salary. I think it's what does the immediate future hold? But I think Jack Grealish trusts that Dean Smith has the ambition and has the desire to go on the same journey as Jack. Now, there's a big difference between having that ambition and desire and actually delivering on it. But I think, you know, he knows that he's flourished under Dean Smith's management. He knows how much Dean Smith rates him because he has given him the captaincy and he's in the process of building a team around him. So I think it'd be a massive, massive factor. I don't think it was Smith alone that would have convinced him. I think it would be a decent old pay rise. I think it would be the owners and Christian Perslow as well, who are all singing from the same hymn sheet and all having this shared ambition. But a good fit at the moment, aren't they? And it's just, let's just see. Let's just push this partnership. And Villa are more than a partnership of Dean Smith and Jack Grealish, by the way. But let's just push this partnership to the absolute limit and let's see where it takes both of them and let's see where it takes the football club.
I think that's a good foundation, isn't it? That you've got that great relationship between manager and captain. They both support the club and that's almost not relevant, really. But you look from the outside looking in, and if you were a player, I could see why you would find coming to play for Villa attractive now. Whereas a couple of years ago, you'd think, there might be a decent wage, but not really that bothered. There's nothing special going on there at Villa. Whereas it looks, again, maybe that's some Aston Villa fan bias, but it feels like the start of something without getting carried away.
Yeah, it feels like the chemistry is good. And like I said, let's hope we're having this similar conversation, you know, after a kind of a 1-0 defeat to Burnley that leaves Villa in 14th or whatever. You know, because if things are working well now, that should be a reason to kind of hold your nerve at times when they're not working well, really.
Do you think we're at risk as fans of getting carried away because we've had a good start?
Oh, yeah, and I'm all for it, to be honest. I'm all for the gloating.
But yeah, because as fans, we should get carried away. That's the point of football. Dean Smith and Jack Grealish won't be getting carried away. That's important.
Let's absolutely milk every last gif, you know, Graham Souness on a lawnmower, you know, the Count out of Sesame Street singing about the number 7, you know, film posters of the film 7 that have been mocked up.
Nice.
Let's absolutely, you know, we've got an international break. We can't lose until the next game. Let's rinse everything about it. But what I say is in December or January or when the winter starts to bite and, you know, we've got a suspension or an injury or God forbid, let's just kind of hold our nerve and think, okay, are we sitting somewhere that represents progress from where we're sitting a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? If the answer to that is yes, then let's have a little bit of patience. I'm going to start singing Take That again. Let's have a little bit of patience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely kind of rejoice in the good moments because they've been so fleeting and so few and far between. But just bring it at the back of your mind. On the journey, are we still moving forward? we blooming are at the moment, aren't we? Yeah. We absolutely are. We're going to win the league.
That's what I mean. As much as we can get carried away, and that's part of football, that internally at Villa, they're not going to be getting carried away after a couple of good results, because that's not how football works. Things change. And that's important that they do keep their feet on the ground. I don't think there's probably a better manager out there than someone like Dean Smith to do that.
Back to the old, we've mentioned it before, haven't we? The old Rudyard Kipling poem. Have you read it yet?
Oh, I don't even know. Don't think
so. We've spoken about this before. Do your homework.
If you can think and not make thought your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you give your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools.
It was the if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just, should be doing this with AVFC extra mate.
This one happened with James Rushton, we go to
a deeper level of poetry. Triumph and disaster, yeah. So you're either up here or you're down there. Surely as a Villa fan you know the disaster, even if you don't know triumph.
Yeah.
They're two imposters, because normally life is just meh.
Yeah.
But those are two imposters, yeah? Because they don't happen very often, and you treat them both the same. So if you're Dean Smith, you're a measured manager, and if you beat Liverpool 7-2, you're there.
Yeah.
And if you lose to Stoke in the Capital One Cup, Jesus, in the Carabao Cup, you're there.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is Rudyard and Dean have got it nailed.
Cool. And next week's Matt Kendrick's Poetry Corner.
Poetry Corner, we're going to do limericks.
Oh, dear me. I was going to make a good point about Smith and Jack, but it's totally gone, so we'll just have to move on, I guess. Talk about Dean Smith being underrated by the wider footballing world, that Bielsa comes in, and I don't mean this is an anti-Bielsa thing, because he is a good manager. So Leeds come into the Premier League, first game, 4-3 Fulham, look good on the eye, everyone's going, oh, attractive Bielsa in the Premier League, nice to see. We beat Fulham 3-0, obviously. They then beat Sheffield United 1-0, same result as us, and everyone's raving about Bielsa, how he's the best thing since sliced bread. And they get a 1-1 with Pep Guardiola's Man City, the master and the apprentice. Similar fixture with Villa, obviously Man City and Liverpool. The first two are the same. We beat Liverpool 7-2, and Graham Souness is moaning about grass, whereas Bielsa is the second coming of Christ. Why is that? The difference in perception in media and the fan base is Bielsa's this master tactician, whereas Dean Smith is this fluky manager who's, you know, a bit rough and ready and stayed up by a VAR decision.
Yeah, I think Bielsa is new to the Premier League, so he is going to...
Dean Smith, really.
Yeah, but he's new, is the, you know, this season. So he's going to kind of have all the hype and nonsense surrounding him. And Bielsa's back catalogue is, do you know what I mean? His track record,
yeah.
He's got a more glorious back catalogue than Dean Smith. But, you know, the post-Liverpool stuff, that was always going to be Liverpool, you know, a kind
yeah,
of...
Why is it always
aren't Liverpool there? Bad? Because it is. That's just the narrative. And I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, but if...
As a Villa fan.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I don't get too hung up on this. But if Leeds had beat Man City 7-2, I think that would have been all about how good Leeds were rather than how bad Man City were. And no excuses of grass and yeah. All these kind of things. I think that's just specifically a Graham Souness thing, and because it was Liverpool and they're the champions, but it shouldn't be like that. It should be all praise Villa and Dean Smith, and it hasn't been like that.
Yeah, I think it's just the hint of the exotic, isn't it? You know, this is why I'm glad Villa held firm when they appointed Dean Smith, because there were lots of kind of exotic names yeah. around there, and it probably would have been easy having failed with Steve Bruce, the kind of old school Englishman, to have gone for the kind of continental exciting option. But you know, I'm not bothered about Dean Smith falling under the radar, because if Dean Smith achieves what we want Dean Smith to achieve with Aston Villa over the next 5 to 10 years, there's no way he's going to fall under the radar, because the scrutiny is going to rain down on him, because the glare on the top six of the table would automatically kind of encompass him as well. But
you get my point, though.
I do. I mean, the thing I'd say about Dean Smith is he actually, my wife can't stand football, and he actually kind of registered on my wife's radar after the Liverpool game, because do you know 442s, the YouTube channel? They did my son likes that, and they did a video of Villa beating Liverpool.
Nice.
And they've got a cartoon Dean Smith. You know that dance when you kind of grab your knee?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They've got Dean Smith doing that. And
trying to demonstrate.
I'm not going to do it now. I'll put my back out and end up headbutting your kitchen table. But yeah, well, I don't know where I'm going with that, particularly. But my wife thought it was quite amusing.
He will start to get praised the longer that he succeeds with Villa. I just thought it's interesting that we've got basically an identical start to Leeds in terms of Sheffield United, Fulham, and then Man City and Liverpool. And Bielsa has come in as this master tactician who's going to take the Premier League by storm, whereas Dean Smith is going under the radar a little bit. And for Villa, that's a good thing, and I'm not complaining about it. I just think it's interesting the way the media perceives two different managers.
Mainstream media.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Bloody mainstream media. As much as we keep saying we don't take in the Villa fan thing into account, it's a nice touch, isn't it? It's a nice bonus. I like that we can talk for an hour about Dean Smith, the man and the manager. And it's not the first subject isn't, he's a Villa fan, how good is that? That's almost an afterthought for us, and I think that's the way it should be, because he's a good manager first and foremost, and yeah. The Villa fan stuff is a bonus.
When I say he's one of us and one of our own, I mean beyond Aston Villa, I mean he is a normal bloke. And I'll take you back to when he was at Walsall a long time ago, and I would only go across to Walsall very occasionally, kind of when we would do stuff for the Sunday Mercury. He would actually kind of make cups of tea for the press. Do you know what I mean? Mm. He'd kind of be there saying, oh, you know, how many sugars do you want or whatever. And I think part of what he did with some of the kids at Walsall was taught them life skills, like you need to know how to change a tyre, yeah. You need to know how to make a cup of tea. And it's these really important qualities that no matter how rich you get, no matter how many times your face is on Sky Sports News, no matter how much people want a piece of you if you're out kind of dining in a restaurant in Birmingham, yeah, pre-lockdown with your family. He's a big deal. He's a massive deal. He manages a football club that's, yeah, riding high in the Premier League, but he never ever forgets the kind of nice social niceties, yeah, that got him there, really. And that, to me, you know, until we hailing him as lifting the Champions League, that to me is the biggest tribute that you can pay to him, really, that he's, yeah, stayed so unaffected by it all.
I'm at risk of going down tangents after tangents here, and I do want to wrap up at some point, but this probably happens with other managers, you just don't hear about it because he's our manager, so I'm obviously involved in this world. And there might be other fans watching, probably not after an hour, but surprisingly, other fans do watch our stuff, but not for this long. They will think, well, our manager does stuff like this. And it's like, well, I don't know, do I? So forget all that. But the story about him buying Ollie Watkins a fish tank when he was at Brentford, like, that's just a normal, nice thing to do, isn't it? It gets in a housewarming
present. Normal, is it?
Well, maybe not specifically
a
fish tank.
Are you kind of fishing for a fish tank here? You're saying that that's what managers should do?
Not at all, but you can bring me some gifts. Although, yeah,
I bought you some pastries.
Yeah, some
batteries.
But yeah, again, that might happen at other places, but one of his players has moved house and he's bought him a housewarming gift. Like, that's a nice touch, isn't it? It's a nice thing to do. And yeah, just sort of bring that, yeah, up again.
And how did Ollie Watkins be paying? Both the fish died, didn't they? Straight,
yeah,
away.
Yeah.
So what's Ollie Watkins ever done for Dean Smith? Oh, he scored a hat-trick against Liverpool, yeah. Okay, well, Ollie, all good.
So that sums up our ode to Dean Smith then, with added poetry in there.
Exactly,
the,
yeah,
as well.
Exactly. How many other Villa podcasts are quoting Rudyard Kipling?
Gotta be zero. 2 years of Dean Smith and hopefully many more to come.
There once was a great man called Dean.
It's been good to sit and chat about the last 2 years. There's a lot happened in 2 years.
It feels like a lot. It's been very eventful.
And here's to another
10.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.